This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Sarah Bloomquist. We're breaking into regular programming to bring you breaking news. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is addressing the media as the Birds prepare for Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. This is the first time we've heard from the coach since he found out that the Eagles will be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Sirianni is just getting started. Let's listen in.
House. You know, we obviously stayed at the stadium for a little bit. Took pictures of the family and things like that.
Oh,
you know, enjoyed the moment.
Breaking news.
I wonder how Nick found out they were going to the Super Bowl.
All right, the Ross Tucker Show with Al Morgan and Rhea Hughes. Ross, that was actually the Channel 6 here in Philadelphia with breaking news that the Eagles were facing the Chiefs yesterday.
No, it was yesterday afternoon. Regularly scheduled news conference. So they broke into the Rachel Ray Show, the cooking show, to play his news conference.
You guys just confused the crap.
No, bro, we looked like, is there an injury? What happened?
Wechter was watching it live, and he jumped up, and he was like, oh, my God, what's happened? That's the first time Nick's talking to him since he found out he's going to the Super Bowl. We're like, and it was just his regular, normally scheduled.
That's how big it is, Ross.
I mean, interview.
Guess what? I thought that was happening right
yes,
now.
Yes, sir.
And I was like, is Sirianni the first time he's talking about
really?
The Super Bowl?
Really?
Is 8 o'clock on a Wednesday? Is Sirianni stealing my hour here of the Ross Tucker Wednesday?
I enjoy people getting on the bandwagon, and sometimes when it bleeds over into real news, but sometimes you got to check yourself.
Yeah, it's not breaking news.
it's that big. I assume out there in Reading it's big news too.
It's gigantic. Stop saying that, Al. Stop saying that. If you're in Reading, Reading people love the Eagles just as much as Philadelphia people do.
Yeah.
We get every station you guys get. We get everything you guys get.
Really?
It's just after
how many days later?
After the game, it's a little bit further drive down the turnpike or 422.
All right, let's go to Bill from Reading. Good morning, Bill.
How are you doing this morning?
How are you, Bill?
Great. I'm from Why Missing... Just like Ross Tucker.
There you go.
And it's funny that you guys consider Why Missing a Hick area. We're actually in the Reading area considered snobs. But Reading does have a Hick type of reputation. And you guys, I'm trying to see how I can get this to you, if you guys can find it. There is a Eagles fight song in Pennsylvania Dutch.
What?
That
what?
You guys...
Oh, God. We need this.
On YouTube.
Francisco, you have one job after you spin the wheel here. Dutch version. No, I'm sorry. Pennsylvania
Bill,
Dutch.
Pennsylvania.
Dutch version of... Yeah, it was done at the local radio station, WEU in Reading.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Hey, Bill, do you have an event you'd pay big money for?
That I would pay big money for. Besides the Super Bowl, I would pay to go to the Final Four in college basketball.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is one. We're going to give you a spin for that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that is one every, no matter where it is. And you also get the Keith Jones autograph card.
Wechter thinks he's already found it.
No.
All right, we got to hear it.
Oh,
off. Oh, my goodness. That's for all you people with a pet named Noodles.
There you go. There
you
go.
You know what's funny? My father-in-law and mother-in-law, they can still speak Pennsylvania Dutch.
Really? That's
awesome.
Isn't
that incredible? And they're my wife's grandmothers, like, they were like, I mean, like, they spoke it growing up. It's really unbelievable. It really is cool.
This is just shows you sports crosses over everything, Ross.
Evidently.
Absolutely crosses.
There's a woman in Wilmington who, because I know they did something on, I forget which station had it on last week. She, you know, the organ player, you know, in church.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
She actually played it in church, the Eagles fight song.
Oh, yeah.
On
they,
the
play
organ.
It, they play it when, up where I live in the supermarket, Murphy's, they play the Eagles fight song all day long. Get you to buy more stuff for the Super Bowl party.
Exactly.
Get things going. I have to ask you, Ross, about the we mentioned this video yesterday. Now it's everywhere about Lane Johnson moving early, which I thought they were making a whole bunch out of nothing. And then I looked at it. I mean, it's everywhere now. Will this be accentuated for the referees going into that Super Bowl? Will it be an issue?
So I need to see it. I have not seen the video.
Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you.
I will say there – he always moves before everybody else moves. But I've always thought that he timed it like instantaneously with when Kelce started to move the football.
Hmm.
The Niners were complaining about it. I interviewed Lane after the game, and he even referenced it. And he talked about how important it was for him. So the thing that makes Lane, or one of the things that makes Lane so good, is his initial explosiveness, his get-off. So much of offensive line play is how fast your first two steps are, how fast you get in position to engage. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, it's kind of like the equivalent of, like, you punching them before they punch you, right? Like, you hit them before they hit you. And Lane is probably the most explosive right tackle out of his stance that I've ever seen in terms of his initial quickness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge, huge advantage for him. I am quite sure, and Rhea will send me the video.
Yeah, I just sent it
to you.
Quite
sure that the Chiefs will be complaining about it. But listen, I mean, the Niners were complaining about it. The side judge is watching the ball.
Yeah.
He's watching Lane. He didn't call it, so I don't.
Just as a neutral observer, if it was a swim meet, that gun's going off, and it's a false start.
Baldinger, who does the breakdowns, and who I love, Brian Baldinger, he just said he calls him a fast twitch all pro, and he goes, he believes it's the definition of simultaneous.
Really,
that's his take on it. But I sent you both Brian's, and then you know the highlight.
The one from Brian is perfect. By Lane, and it's definitely too close, in my opinion, to call it offsides,
mm-hmm.
to call it a false start.
False start. Well, man, it'll be. I just when I look at things going into big games, and I know the coach, you know, you stress it. I think that'll be one of those. Let's watch for this things going into the game.
I think the other one you sent, Rhea. I think he's. A
little.
He's a tad early.
Yeah, okay, we'll call it a tad.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Is it enough early to throw the flag?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, it's not like it's hidden. It's not like sometimes the official's misholding because everybody's kind of around each other. He's kind of standing out there on the island if the official doesn't see it.
Let's put it this way, Ross. Exactly. If there's a prop bet that he'll be called once, I'm taking the bet.
But remember this, too. Like... we're watching this in super slow-mo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The refs are human beings. They're human beings, and they're on the sideline. They're not seeing it in super slow-mo.
I am all in favor of them being human beings as long as it's not against the Eagles. I just want to make that very clear to you.
All right, let's go over to across the bridge to Jersey and check in with Colleen. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning. How are you?
What's happening, Colleen?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, I thought it necessary to call this morning because I was backing out of my driveway when the breaking news came on. I stopped my car and almost had a heart attack. I honestly thought that Jalen was hurt or something was really bad.
Yep.
I can't even give you a final four because I can't focus right now.
It's unbelievable.
We were playing with Ross, Colleen. We're very sorry. But no, Colleen, that's what happened to our producer, Wechter, sitting at home on his Barco lounger, not bothering anybody. And he hears the breaking news of Philadelphia Eagles. And he jumps up and he's like, oh, my God. What?
I know. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know. I'm telling you, I would have pulled back in the driveway and called out.
Oh, man.
I love that.
No, it's unbelievable. It's what happens, Colleen, when the sports bleeds over into
news
and you want to get everybody, and you know, you want to get more people to when you do sounders, it's why all these sports networks or whatever have noises that go on. And so you go back to your room to watch the TV because something big is coming up. Unfortunately, it wasn't the way, but we're sorry about that, Colleen.
Guys, I intentionally never watch the news because I just think it's negative and I'm just not here for it. But I have never, flipping through the channels, I've never been on like CNN or Fox News where they don't have the breaking thing up there.
Yeah, it's
there 24/7. Something is breaking. There's something breaking.
It's why everybody's on Xanax.
You know, I'm telling you, I would have had to take another anxiety.
All right, Colleen, I guess you don't have a guess for the amount of money you'd spend. Thanks for the call. Yeah,
that's great. I'm so sorry. We probably did that to a lot of people.
Well, they did it.
They did it to Joe.
They did it to everybody. If you're hearing that stuff, I mean, you know, Sirianni talking about his family dinner. Not breaking news.
No.
And Rusta, to the point about the good coaching staff, there is a story. It's an amazing story to me. It's beyond football. Sirianni, it's in one of the business journals. I read it, I think, a week ago or whatever. That they actually changed the law in New Jersey real estate because when they were buying a house, he caught something legally, and they changed the rules in Jersey. That's how attention to detail that he is. Where they were buying a house in Jersey, and there was a clause there that most people had just overlooked, that if they sold the house, they had to offer it to the relatives of the previous owner before anybody else, and nobody ever caught it except they did. And they changed the law in Jersey that couldn't be in there. It's a remarkable thing, to the attention to detail.
Sirianni?
Yes. It's a non-sport. You'd have to find it in a non-sports thing. It's a business journal type thing, Wall Street Journal type thing.
And it's not breaking news.
It's not breaking news. But when you pay that much attention to detail in everything, it shows up everywhere.
Now, you think that was him, or you think that was like his lawyer?
I don't know. It got through a lot of people before.
Let me just say this: if Sirianni spent that much time reading that contract, that's going to get me worried. Now we're going to get calls. He should have been watching tape of the Cowboys. Why was he reading that contract
so thoroughly?
Maybe his
wife caught it.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah, something. But I mean, it's an incredible thing that, you know, we see what's gone on, and he's gone already into when you look at the different coaches that have been here, it's remarkable to me that Lurie makes these decisions. Even Kelly, who turned into a disaster at the end, was pretty good at the beginning, Ross.
Well, he went to the playoffs the second year, right?
Yeah.
Every one of his coaches has gone to the playoffs by their second year.
You actually tweeted this out. I don't know if it was yesterday. You want to repeat what you said, because that's the road you're leading down?
Yeah, I mean, think about – I know there was two more hires made yesterday, but who still needs coaches? The Colts and
– Arizona, maybe?
Arizona, yeah. If you're one of those owners, how do you not – call Jeffrey Lurie. Look, I don't know if Lurie will give you advice or not, right? But how do you not at least call Jeffrey Lurie and say, hey, Jeff, like, any tips for me, man? I mean, because think about Andy Reid. Even Chip had, you know, Chip the coach was good. Chip the GM was terrible.
Yeah.
Chip the GM was the disgrace. And then, obviously, Doug Peterson, we see what he's doing in Jacksonville. We see what Andy's doing in Kansas City. We see what Sirianni's doing here. Like, how do you not at least make that phone call?
Oh, well, I don't know what Lurie would or you know, what you're exactly looking for in an interview. You know, that's what surprised me about Kelly, the personality, that usually can tell that in an interview, that you wouldn't be comfortable with it. But he must have been a pretty good salesman.
That's a good point, Al.
Well, they really wanted him, so I think that they were just willing to give him whatever he wanted.
I also think,
the difference.
Yeah.
I also think that was one where it was all about the offensive ingenuity and that, you know, they probably thought his personality was like a quirky genius type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can relate.
Well, you are quirky.
Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on. That's the bad rapper. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Al. How you doing? Hey. First off, I'd like to say that it's nice to see that the Super Bowl has finally caught up to the cost of Disney World.
That's pretty good.
So that's really good. But listen, Philadelphia has been great with iconic photos. I mean, the Chuck Narek standing over Frank Gifford. And the fans have some iconic photos. I mean, the fan being chased by the policeman with the taser gun is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the girl who unfortunately fell through the bus stop was just ecstatic with her smile with the neck brace on, which I saw that and I just couldn't believe how great that photo was. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of the cell. I mean, it's like we've been there before. Like I said, we've absolutely gone there before. Oh, wait a minute. I think we have some. What's happening?
This actually is breaking news, Ross Tucker. According to Adam Schefter, and it looks like it's his verified account, 1 minute ago, Tom Brady announces he's retiring. It just popped up.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's on Adam Schefter's official account. It says Tom Brady's retiring. Announces he's retiring.
Well, maybe he doesn't like that movie coming out.
I will send it to you, Ross. But yes, that literally just popped up, and I decided to use it as a way to use our breaking news sounder again.
Wow.
Maybe he wants to announce it before Giselle comes out in Vanity Fair.
Yeah, Giselle's got a piece coming out in Vanity Fair in which she apparently is going in depth into her divorce.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So I guess
I'm a little bit surprised by that. Everybody seemed to think he was going to play.
But don't worry. When we come back from break, we'll have breaking news sounder where Tom Brady denies it.
Oh, no. Or he comes back. No. No, it's, you know, the end's got to be there, right? I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was,
people
said. A lot of people thought he was going to play one more year.
Yeah,
Niners.
Yeah. Niners or Raiders or. I'm actually surprised he's decided this early. You know, this is exactly when he retired a year ago.
Yep. Now Jacina Anderson saying it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody
I think
now.
He announced
right.
it on his Twitter or his Instagram.
Yeah, he did.
Well, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe he's afraid the guy doing the color was too good and he wasn't going to get that job off. It's going to happen there. Well, that's, you know, that'll be the story of the day. At least it wasn't in the week just before the Super Bowl. Get through this a little bit. So he's not like.
Oh, he's got to make it about himself.
Why he doesn't want to kidnap yes. all that. All right, we're going to get to Chris, Anthony, everybody else on the other side. Time at 94 WIP is 8:20. All righty, welcome back to the Ross Tucker Show with Al Morgan and Rhea Hughes, formerly known as the WIP Morning Show. On Wednesdays, Ross takes it over. And we have our updated question now from Francisco Rojas.
All right, so we're going to go into our new Twitter question here that is brought to you by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore, looking to buy or lease a new Silverado. Armin Chevy is your Silverado truck headquarters. Find new roads at ArminChevy.com. So the new Twitter question, with roles reversed, let's say the roles reversed, Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. Would you be okay if an Eagles player that was from Texas said what Micah Parsons says and go win the Super Bowl for the division? Would you be okay with that?
No.
No. And what was the final the first poll? How did that finish out? I'm sorry.
I'm looking. One second.
Yep.
If the final is going to be lopsided against anything to do with Dallas.
No, it wouldn't work.
So the updated on the first question. So it was. Yes at 60% and no at 40.
There you go, went up.
All right, Al, we do actually have Tom Brady's announcement, which he made via social media, and here it is.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Wow, well, that was emotional.
That is the end. When he says for good, it is the end. Ross, it looks like he says he wouldn't change anything. I wonder if he wouldn't change the last year.
Well, a couple thoughts. You guys know I was his teammate, yep. 2005, 2006, and I told you before, you'll never find a teammate of his to say a bad word about him, which is really, really hard to do in this day and age. And it's just so cool for me that I was his teammate. Like, I snapped him the ball, you know, and it reminds me, what's that movie, The Natural? Mm-hmm. You know, when who says, there goes Roy Hobbs, like the best there ever was? Like, Tom Brady's the best there ever was. You look at all of his stats, it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's no way anybody's going to get close to winning 7 Super Bowls. I mean, Mahomes is incredible, but I just can't see that happening. It's just so amazing what he did. And I was joking earlier in the show that I wanted him to keep playing because my daughters think I'm cool at the start of every year.
Yeah, you know, but if he becomes an announcer and he's like the lead guy on Fox, then, you know, you still get to say it.
Yeah, but that takes away one more of my potential jobs for you, too.
Sorry about that.
That knocks me in. If Greg Olsen gets knocked down, then I get knocked down.
I think Greg Olsen's very good.
He is excellent. I think you can make a strong argument. He's the best guy doing it right now.
Agreed.
And I'll tell you this, too. The fact that Greg Olsen, like a good, not like Hall of Fame player,
not a name
tight
guy.
End,
yep.
The fact that he has that job tells you how good he is, right? Like, it's really hard to get those jobs, really, really hard. Greg is excellent at it. And I've made the argument before, I kind of think tight end's like the ideal position because the tight end has to understand line play. He has to know blocking schemes because that's part of playing tight end. But he also has to know route combinations and coverages. So, like, I know enough to be dangerous, but I'll never know as much about coverages as Greg does. Although, to be fair, you can't really get that technical anyway. You know, you don't have that much time. You don't want to be talking over people's heads. Mm-hmm. At any rate, Greg's excellent. He's the son of a coach. You can tell his dad was a coach. He does a very good job of explaining and teaching. And he's probably my favorite guy doing it right now.
Yeah, well, he does a heck of a job. And now Brady's going to be there. And I guess it leaves a void now. You know, Hurts playing the way he does, and Rodgers looks like he's kind of fallen on the bad side of the curve there. He really has I really think he's stepped into that role as one of the top two, three quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Jalen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. So he has had an amazing year. I wonder, I always try to be objective with this. If we asked, forget, like, whoever you think the top five guys are, let's just say right now, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Burrow, Jalen Hurts. If you asked the other 27 GMs to rank them or who they would want, I still kind of think Jalen would go last out of those four guys.
So everybody out of the pool, everybody's a free agent.
Well, yeah, right. Like, if you could pick any of those guys, I think most of them would pick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The vast majority. I think there'd be some Burrow. I think there'd be Josh Allen. I'm not sure. I think Jalen would be fourth out of that group.
It's interesting that you're mentioning the rankings 1, 2, 3, 4. So, you know, Chris Sims has had his stupid take all season about Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
He finally has grudgingly, and I don't believe an ounce of it, come around, and here's what he said yesterday.
You know, hey, I was wrong. Yeah, I, you know, questioned how good he was. His crap, he's definitely a top 10 quarterback in football, what he's doing. He's one of the greatest leaders in the sport. You know, you could tell even right there, he doesn't even seem like he's happy he won the NFC Championship game. He seems like he's still, you know, like chippy and like, I'm going to prove you wrong, still more there to it. I love that about him. I do. You know, and again, he's done a great job as far as leading the team, making big plays, running the football, doing that. And then the way they're playing is formulated around his skill set now to where they got something special going here yesterday.
I didn't believe a word of what he said. Ross.
Ross, it sounded like he – I don't understand it at all.
Sounds like somebody like literally told him he had to do it.
I think he realized he had to do it because you get to a point where it's like Mike Lombardi saying Doug Peterson's the worst coach in the NFL. You get to a point where it's like, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I think he realizes he was wrong. I still think there's a bunch of quarterbacks that Chris Sims would take before Jalen Hurts. And, you know, this is an interesting question. Does it make you feel better that the Eagles won by so much even though Jalen didn't play well? Or does it make you feel worse that Jalen didn't play well against the 49ers?
I will tell you what made me feel well is that when it comes down to it, even though, because it was one of my questions, one of my true or false with you, this notion the Eagles didn't have a good run game, 148 yards rushing, I believe four rushing touchdowns, 93 yards before contact, that they, when Jalen is having a rare off game, they can still just pound the ball at will when they want.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about this Eagles team 2 weeks from now if they win. But, I mean, we're talking about one of the best offensive lines in NFL history.
Yep.
We're talking about – I have been consistent with this, guys, that this is the best Eagles team I've ever seen. Now, they might lose to the Chiefs, and that's entirely possible. And I know we'll talk about this more next week. But I do think it's a close game, and that makes me very nervous because we have all seen Patrick Mahomes get the job done and make the critical plays in close games. I mean, we've all seen him do it at least 20 times now.
Yeah.
I can't really think, Rhea and Al, of Jalen Hurts, like, coming up big in the clutch late.
The Colts game.
Right. And maybe, was it the Cardinals, too? No, the Cardinals missed a kick. No, but the Eagles scored first.
I think it was a Colts game where he drove them down, where they were
right,
where it was clutch.
But that's also not like a playoff game
exactly.
or
yeah.
whatever. And so so this could be a golden opportunity for him to do that. I mean, the flip side is, you know, I said the same thing with you guys 5 years ago when it was Nick Foles against Tom Brady. You know? I said it's going to be a close game, and in a close game, I'm going to lean towards Brady and Belichick over Peterson and Foles, and I was wrong.
Well, it sounds like the argument waiting for Iverson to hit the last second shot back in the day or something like that. And
they used to say that about him. He'd have 53 points and go, we didn't take the last second shot. I'm going, why do you think you're in it at the last second?
Yes, last second shot. And we did have a caller earlier and we you know, suggesting that what point would you feel comfortable against the Chiefs? And that's where I think the difference is. I don't care if you're up 21 against the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. I'm not comfortable. It just isn't in that way with that quarterback.
Yeah, no, he's so I think he's the best player in the sport, and I don't think it's by a small margin. You know, like to me, Mahomes is one, and then there's a little drop off, and then or a decent amount drop off. Then you get to Burrow, Josh Allen, like what Mahomes did Sunday with
on
the bum
ankle. Yeah.
I mean, I can say really good Bengals defense. Some of the throws he made, scrambling late. He is the best player in the sport. He deserves to be the MVP, and he carries that team seemingly every week. The Eagles, to win the game, their D-line has got to hit him early and often.
And you know what the crazy thing about Mahomes is? I actually really like him. Like, I hated Tom Brady. You know, just because I hated the Patriots back to 05 and all the accusations of cheating and I wasn't a Belichick. I don't like Andy Reid. Mahomes' wife is annoying. Brother is annoying. I can't dislike Patrick Mahomes. I just find him too likable and too great of a player to watch.
So, Rhea, I know Angelo feels this way. Yeah. Can you – I would like to hear your logic and reasoning for why you don't like Andy.
Because
I really respect your opinion.
Because his over-reliance on throwing the I guess it was the Tampa game, and that's where I lost my mind. They ran the ball. Brian Mitchell returned it to the 20. I think it was Deuce Staley, if I remember. Ran it in, and then he wound up throwing the ball like 50 times in that game, and I lost my mind.
In the 2002 NFC Championship.
Yeah, his time management. My thing was, like, Angelo's thing was he hates him. Like, I've met Andy in social situations, and I found him to be very gracious and very engaging. My stuff had nothing to do. The kids thing, that was terrible. I disliked him for all of the decisions that cost the Eagles huge games and big spots.
The same reasoning why you're not a big Gannon guy.
Yes.
They're just purely football things that you don't
because,
like.
Oh, yeah, because we met Gannon at training camp and absolutely engaging. Mm-hmm. Totally engaging. But here's where I'll do what Chris Sims wouldn't do. Not a Gannon fan. They are the main reason they're in the Super Bowl after these two playoff things. It's not that hard to do. Nope. I am willing to say that his defense has allowed 14 points. And they've been they crushed the 49ers. So it's not that difficult to say when you're been wrong. I just his defense does drive me crazy.
You know what else is wild?
Okay.
You know what else is wild about Mahomes, just thinking about it? I mean, the Eagles, like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith would be the Chiefs' best receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, they're hurt. Even the ones they have might be hurt.
The guy led the
NFL.
Yeah,
didn't all three of their receivers get hurt in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. That's going to be one of the biggest pieces of information over the next 10 days is the health status of those guys. But the guy led the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns by a pretty good margin. And his best receiver would be the number three receiver for the Eagles.
Oh, wow. All right, we're going to get back to everybody on the side. Wrap it up with Ross. Time of 94. WIP is 8:41. And we're back. Al Morgani, Rhea Hughes with the star of the show, Ross Tucker. Ross, I got to congratulate you. Your voice has held up very well.
Thank you, Al. Don't jinx me. I only have,
it's fading.
I only have about 6 more hours of talking.
Well, and now today, wherever you go on, it's going to be all Brady talk, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say it kind of times out well because Monday and Tuesday was all about the conference championship games.
Mm-hmm.
Next week will be all about the Super Bowl. You know, probably could have used this tomorrow. We could have done Sean Payton and and D'Amico Ryans today. So Tom could have waited till tomorrow. But I am very glad, and I think this was intentional by him. I'm glad he didn't do it next week.
I'm
glad that he's kind of – everything he does is pretty well thought out and calculated. Yes, so I'm glad he's doing it this way.
Yeah, it's doesn't take away from the Super Bowl.
23
week.
Years.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
It really is incredible to have gone that long. And when we go into that week, a lot of the discussion, Ross, is going to be about health. And I guess Lane Johnson's not going to get any better. I'm going into this thing, but they've got other issues.
Landon Dickerson hyperextended his right elbow. It's McLean said he's going to be braced up, but you would wanted to talk about what Mailata, like we always talk about Jason Kelce and we talk about Lane Johnson, but what Dickerson and Mailata mean to this offensive line.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because I'm actually doing an interview with this guy named Brandon Thorne, who's like an O-line, D-line expert. That's all he does is watch O-line, D-line film. And he posted an awesome clip of – it was mainly Mailata, but at times Mailata was working with Landon Dickerson. And I think those guys get overshadowed by Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce. And by the way, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce – are the best in the world at what they do. And I believe both of them are Hall of Fame players. Like, I think Lane is stating his case for the Hall of Fame as well. But those two young guys on the left side, they are monsters in the run game. They are movers of men. Al, I don't know how close you've ever been to these guys.
Yeah.
Mailata is all of 6'8", 380.
Yeah, we had him in studio. Singing. It was like insane and singing, but it was insane to stand next to him.
And then even Landon Dickerson is like 6'6.5", 345. Like, those guys are physically so gifted monsters. And I'm actually going to have that guy, I'm interviewing him today for Friday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He posted a whole video, like a minute and a half, of Mailata, primarily Niners games, but there was a couple Giants games. Mailata just murdering people, like Bosa, just moving people, throwing them down to the ground like you're not supposed to be able to do in the NFL. Wow. And he's been a little bit more inconsistent than I would like in pass pro. Like, I thought after last year that Mailata would take more of a step forward in terms of consistency this year. He is a very good left tackle. I don't know if he'll ever be first-team All-Pro. I don't know if he'll be the best guy in the world at it, but he is a weapon. He and Landon Dickerson in the run game, specifically their double teams, that is a weapon that the Eagles utilize that – honestly, I think they should even utilize it more. That, you know, the way Jalen was playing and missing some of those throws, the Eagles actually should have ran the ball even more and earlier against the Niners.
So when you look at him, does not to kind of pat yourself on the back, but were you surprised that you were one of the few that actually looked at him early and said, "This is special"?
Well, the first time he showed up in, with the Eagles, you loved Mailata.
Well, that was 2018. Mm-hmm. That was the year before I did the Eagles preseason games. Mm-hmm. It was Mayock. So I'm at home here, and I'm watching the Eagles in the preseason, and I know the guy's story. I know that he had just gotten there, never worn a helmet and shoulder pads before, never played the sport before. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he looked awesome. You know, he was passing off twists. He's huge. He's got long arms. He moves well. And I just remember thinking, if he's this good already, like if he's this competent already, he's going to be like a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber player. And I think he is. He's a Pro Bowl alternate this year, which tells you, I mean, he can't go anyway, but it tells you he's very close. I mean, the problem is Trent Williams for the Niners is incredible. But
bad Jordan temper, too.
Yeah, exactly. but Jordan is getting right there. In fact, when Lane and Trent Williams retire, you know, Jordan has a chance to be like that next elite tackle. Because it says something, doesn't it, that the two best guys, Trent and Lane, are both like in their early 30s.
Wow.
Do we talk enough about Jeff Stoutland? I mean, it's just, it's insane what he's been able to do.
No, and I think the best part about him, Rhea, isn't even like the starters. You know, those guys are really gifted. And he deserves a lot of credit in particular for Mailata, obviously. But what I give Stoutland a lot of credit for, I watch him at training camp. I watch him even before the games. He is getting Driscoll and Cam Jurgens and Andre Dillard. He is getting those guys, Opetta, so that they're ready to play. And if you notice, when those guys have to fill in, they're not as good as the starters, but they don't cause the Eagles to lose the game. You watch these other teams, backups come in, and they got no shot. Yeah. They're going to lose the game because their backups aren't good enough. That is why that's the area I give Stoutland as much credit as any.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, Ross, if you see what's gone on, if you don't start to think, I'm just going to go get a big athlete from another sport and do this more often.
You know what? I think what he's doing is rare, but you're right. I mean, Al, feel free to go find some more 6'8", 380-pound guys move really well. Good luck.
Yeah, I guess.
You mean they don't grow on trees in Australia?
He's like a – you know what's crazy? Did you see when his parents came to the game?
Yeah.
His parents are little.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Like, his parents are little.
Isn't it always funny when you see that? You're like, how did that happen? Angelo's like 6'4". His parents were tiny.
Yeah.
You know, my you guys know how big I am. Yeah. My dad's 5'9", 170 pounds.
I mean, both my parents were smart.
Very good, Al. Very good.
But
let's go in one more call. We'll try to get in, trying to save your voice a little bit here. Anthony from media. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Al.
What's
good morning, Rhea. My question is for Rodrigo Tucker. I can't listen to Brown Eyes Girl the same way anymore, Ross, after you said that you heard Rodrigo for Hey, Where Did You Go?
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
With everything that's going on with Shanahan, so the talk when we went up against San Francisco, the talk was about our pass rush, our defensive line. He's on his third-string quarterback, doesn't protect him, puts his fourth-string quarterback in, doesn't protect him. How isn't he under more fire than he is?
Well, because he got the team to their third NFC championship game in 4 years with quarterbacks who I don't think anybody would even say are in the top half of the league. I mean, two with Jimmy and one with Brock Purdy. So just to even get there is extremely impressive. They won 11 games in a row. But I saw where a San Francisco media guy is all mad at me because I said Sirianni thoroughly outcoached Kyle Shanahan, and he did.
Yeah, I mean, no question.
If you have a tight end on one play, then you have a wide receiver and a tight end pulling another play trying to block Hassan Reddick. Congratulations, you lost.
Yeah. Ross, you clearly have not done any film work.
Yeah, it looked to me like as much a surrender as I've ever seen when you had a quarterback. Like, I'm screaming Wildcat. What do I know?
Yeah, why not Christian McCaffrey?
Like, you have no chance. This team had no chance from the way he decided to play.
Well, so here's the thing. They probably don't have very many Wildcat plays in.
Oh.
If any. I mean, if they had plays like that in with the idea that they might sometime need it because two quarterbacks get hurt, then they would have had a third quarterback available for the game. You know what I mean?
Is there any chance Garoppolo could have played if he was active?
They say no because they also say he still might not have been available for the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
All right, Anthony, you have an event you'd play a lot for? Anthony? Oh, Anthony dropped off, I think. All right. Ross, I have to give you an award for getting through this morning. And I'm glad we were the first group to get you.
I get no award. This is my award, doing it with you guys, talking. It's so funny because I do all this other national stuff. Mm-hmm. When I'm on with you guys talking Eagles, don't tell Rod or don't tell, you know, the WIP bosses, but it really does not feel like work. I love it.
Yay. That's how I got through a long time here.
Al, 30 years Al's done that.
All right, Ross, thanks for it. And good luck getting better here. Take care of yourself and get all revved up for the Super Bowl.
I will. See you guys. Right. Talk to you next week.
That's Ross Tucker, Al Morgani, Rhea Hughes. We'll be back right after this time at 94 WIP is 8:57.